Fantasy, you're in the whole 6-0-1-0.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus CSS DFS podcast presented by Geico. We are in our digital studio, the studio that we started the season in right now. We are changing over to the other studio. Unfortunately, Matthew and I are taping the fantasy show out of there a little bit later today. So we're shifting things around. And as a part of shifting things around, to my left, Mike Clay, as usual, Al Zeidenfeld joining us from his home in California. And guys, without doing pleasantries, because I love both of you, and I'm sure people hopefully know who you are, but we had a bunch of stuff happen right before we get started, so please bear with us. There's a lot of fluidity with our lineups and some of the news and stuff that we have, so let's just jump right into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy morning. Like, I know I look like I'm relaxed, and I've been sitting here for a while, but the truth is, I mean, what is it? We're taping this at 11:15. I mean, less than 90 minutes ago, I had just taken my daughter, dropped her off at the bus. She had a 2-hour delay today.
Yep.
I walked back to my house. I was like, all right, I have time here. I'm going to get a shower, relax. I'm already ready. I already printed my note for the show. I'm ready to talk about Taysom Hill. I have all that ready. And then the alert comes in.
Yep.
The Fantasy Life Out. Shout out, Matt Berry. That Drew Brees is playing. So I'm like, great. That ruins my cash lineup, my cage match lineup with Al. We feature a player at every position every week.
Yeah.
Ruin that for me. I have to update the projections, the rankings, all of these things. Then 2 seconds later, what do we get? Julio Jones is out too. So that we pull him out as a value. We have Russell Gage. We have Calvin Ridley now that are better values. So it flipped the slate on its head. The slate is flipped on its head immediately.
Yep.
So shout out to Pete. He's hilarious. So
we're going to figure it out this morning.
But I got my shower. I got everything updated. I think we're good to go here. So
good.
Everything's...
You do smell nice today. I got to be honest.
I was going to say, I mean, I needed that shower because you're always like...
Wow.
You kind of smell.
Wow. Like, wow.
You're always telling me I smell, so I knew...
I'll tell you what. A guy gets a sexy looking man bun and all of a sudden everyone comes at him. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying you said... All right.
Saying nice thing? Oh, I did it the wrong way?
I was saying you tell me I smell. So I was like, I need to get my shower.
Please, I love you, Mike Clay. All right, really quickly to recap last week, Philly 919 won our free DFS tournament. Congratulations there for Philly. I barely eked out a win over Mike to tie us season long 7-7.
Yeah,
it was a close one.
This is good stuff. I'm on a little cold streak right now.
Yeah,
a little below, you know, I'm cracking the, you know, I'm winning money in our, you know, I'm in the upper 50th percentile, which is always good. That's what you want. That's our goal here. But you're
head to head
by me, so I don't like this little losing streak. I'm gonna get this back on track.
I am on a squirrel streak right now.
You
as I like to call it. No big deal. All right, let's jump into this. We got a bunch of people to talk about, and Mike at the quarterback position. We were going to talk about Taysom Hill and the value that he had there, but now Taysom Hill no longer somebody that we're going to consider. So your quarterback that we adjusted like 15 minutes ago for this show is.
Yeah, it's Deshaun Watson. And look, I had a lot of top-end options here. Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray, who we'll get into a little bit shortly. But I think Watson comes in. He's the cheapest of that group. He's 6,800, playing at Indianapolis. Now, there's a bunch of things here, a bunch of reasons to like Deshaun Watson. He had that slow start, right? He had that really slow month. He had a really tough schedule. We knew that going into the season that was going to be the case. He had his first top 10 fantasy week in week 5. Since that point, he's QB3. And he's only 3 points out of first place. That shows you how dominant he has been since that first month of the season. A part of that is the Texans have abandoned the run, essentially, especially with David Johnson injured, the third pass heaviest offense in the NFL over the past 2 months and over the past month. But it has led to a ton of fantasy production. 24 more fantasy points in 6 of his past 9 games. The exceptions to that Cleveland game with the horrible weather.
Sure.
Chicago.
Yep.
And Indianapolis. Now you might say, well, Mike, they're playing the Colts.
Mike, they're playing the Colts this week.
Right. So how could you like him this week?
How could you like him this week?
Well, let's talk about that game, okay?
Okay.
That was week 13 just a couple weeks ago. No passing touchdowns. So that's going to kill you right away. But he had 341 passing yards, and he had 7 carries, 38 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. Still at 19 fantasy points. So he still was, you know, pretty good. I mean, for a game with no passing touchdowns, to have 19 fantasy points, that shows you the floor that he brings to the table. Also, speaking of floor, 24 or more rushing yards in 9 straight games. Think about that. So he's 24-plus rushing yards in 9 straight games. That's pretty good, right? That adds a little value.
Pretty good.
He also has 300. He's hit the 300-yard passing bonus in 6 of those games.
Oh, wow.
So he's delivering that as well. So You know, the Colts, yes, at times this year, they've been really good against the pass, but they've allowed 19 or more fantasy points in six of their past seven games to quarterbacks. I think Watson is kind of a little under the radar and in a good spot here.
I wonder, like you said, they've abandoned the runs so much. It kind of does feel like when they get inside that 10-yard line, if there is a Texan that is going to score a rushing touchdown, I would take Deshaun Watson over any of the running backs that they play any day of the week, and that rushing touchdown upside, too, is a big part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that, I mean, I, by the way, I came up with all that, and again, in the last hour. So
good for you.
All that prep, all those nuggets, got to shower, got the nuggets.
Yeah.
Got it all in there. So
just recalling the databases, whatever it is that you do
exactly.
In that computer brain of yours. All right, let's talk about, Al, we're going to talk with you about Jalen Hurts, $5,900 taking on the Arizona Cardinals. And it feels like for a running quarterback like Jalen Hurts, even though it's his second week and there's still a bunch up in the air, like that just feels like a really good value there for Hurts.
It is. I don't have any shower nuggets, but I do have 14 designed runs from last week. For Jalen Hurts. Now, obviously, his price is up like 1,000 on DraftKings from where it was last week. There were two great options at quarterback this week that would bring you a great rushing floor. One of them was Taysom Hill. RIP. Now we've got left with Jalen Hurts. I don't know if you need to stack him in tournaments because I don't expect a whole bunch of targets to go towards one guy. You do have touchdown upside with all of his receivers, but we're really interested here in the rushing floor, the rushing touchdown upside. And I personally like to play running quarterbacks or quarterbacks who have the ability to scramble, mobile quarterbacks against teams that play man-to-man. No team in the league plays more man-to-man defense than Arizona. So there's big chunk upside when he escapes, you know, the pocket a little bit. And Arizona allows the eighth highest completion percentage when opposing quarterbacks are outside of the pocket as well. So he should see increased efficiency through the air and big possible chunk yardage on the ground with either designed runs or scrambles. So love Jalen Hurts again this week.
Okay.
Yeah, that Arizona man-to-man stat was mine that Al just stole, so I have nothing. Yikes. I mean, just
awkward.
Stole my stat. So
Thievery,
I told Al that.
Fantasy focus podcast.
That's all right, Al. That's cool.
No big deal.
All right, Al, let's talk about another
guy. I'm just here to step on Mike, that's all.
So there's another quarterback I would really love to talk about here just because of who they're playing, and it's Jared Goff, $6,300 taking on the New York Jets, Al. And I'm curious, in a tournament kind of a setup, $6,300, is there a way to be able to find a good lineup that you like with Jared Goff?
Yeah, because people always this season, because of how bad the Jets are defensively and how large the spreads are against them, we want to play running backs at home in games where they're favored by a lot. So obviously, Cam Akers is going to carry a large percentage with him in tournaments, but five times this season, a quarterback has scored 20 fantasy points with a pair of his pass catchers racking up 40 fantasy points in the process. So if you go with a double stack here, a single stack or a double stack of Goff to Woods and or Kupp, and it hits, you're not just doing well with that lineup. You're also leaving behind all the people that are going to be on Cam Akers. And I expect Cam Akers to be one of the highest percentage played running backs in tournaments this week because of his price, because of how good a play he is, the matchup, all those things. But like, you can leverage things like that. And we've done it a few times a year this year on the podcast with like Kirk Cousins with double stacks of Jefferson and Thielen. This is the same sort of play where you're leveraging off the chalk running back to the passing game.
Yeah, I agree with you. And look, the Jets have allowed six straight top nine fantasy weeks to quarterbacks, right? So it's not just running backs beating up on them. Quarterbacks have been pretty good, averaging 27 fantasy points per game. We know we've seen Jared Goff have those random four touchdown, 370-yard games. We know that he has it in him. So I agree. And by the way, our friends at Fantasy Labs, if you look their projected rostership for this week, it's 17-20% for Cam Akers, which is a big number. It's one of the highest. It might be the highest on that slate. Jared Goff is 5-8%.
Wow.
That's a pretty significant gap. And that's all to Al's point that a lot of people are going to be in Akers. You could pivot in a tournament setting to that stack and stay away from Akers. And look, if he is, and there's the possibility that all the touchdowns go to the passing game. There's also the possibility that Akers fumbles or starts slow and Daryl Henderson rips off a long play or Malcolm Brown steals two touchdowns. You know, that's also a risk with Cam Akers this week. So there's a lot of reasons to kind of go that direction.
Okay. Couple of the quarterbacks we want to talk about here really quickly. Matt Ryan, $5,400, taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That price point is just so low now.
That's it. Yeah, he's been terrible. I mean, he has been really atrocious in fantasy for, 2 months now?
Yep.
I mean, so that's why I X'd him off. I'm not going to start him in cash because of that, but at the same time, his price is so low. They're going to have to throw against Tampa. it's still like, it's too low to ignore, but it's still too scary.
There's always a chance. Listen, there's always a chance that eventually, like, his splits without Julio are not great, obviously, but $5,400 allows you a lot of other options to be able to find somebody in your lineup. So another guy, like Kyler Murray, the opposite side of the Jalen Hurts conversation, $7,000 taking on the Eagles. Like both of those guys, and Mike, you already mentioned Deshaun Watson at $6,800.
Yep. Yeah. Pat Mahomes throwing there too, especially with the Saints having Breeze. You would expect more offensive efficiency if the Saints are able to score. The Chiefs have to throw the ball more. So that actually, again, when I did that update this morning, you may have noticed if you have Patrick Mahomes on your team and season long, that his projection actually went up a little bit because there's more, a larger expectation that I'll have to throw the football.
Okay. Do you own or rent your home?
Yes.
I'll bet you do. I'll bet it's a lot of hard work too. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, let's talk about some running backs here, guys, because, Mike, I don't want to say that you're picking on the Eagles, but it kind of feels like you're picking on the Eagles here. Kenyon Drake, $5,500 taken on Philly. I'm curious here with Kenyon Drake. You know, there is a Chase Edmonds, Kenyon Drake conversation that we can have as a part of this, but under $6,000 for Kenyon feels like good value.
Yeah, and speaking of Geico Easy, I mean, we can just replay what I said last week.
Yep.
It's the same thing. His price did not change despite another huge game. So just roll it. You know, I'll just update all the stats I gave you last week. Again, his price did not change. He's 18th in pricing at the running back position in a short slate this week with obviously two Saturday games. He's averaging 16 fantasy points per game since his return in week 10. That's 14-plus in his past four games as well. 10 or more carries in every game this season. He had 23 last week. Again, 23 carries last week, and his price did not go up at all. 12 targets in his past four games. He had a total of 11 in his first eight games. 5 touchdowns in his past four games. Had 4 in his first eight games. So it shows you the way he's trending in terms of targets and in terms of touchdowns. And now keep in mind, he missed a game and a half when I give you this stat. He missed a game and a half recently. Since week 2, he leads the NFL in carries inside the 5-yard line with 16 of them. Yes. The Eagles now, he's playing the Eagles, obviously. 12th most fantasy points for running backs over the past month. They've allowed at least one rushing touchdown to 5 straight games and at least one running back touchdown in 11 of their 13 games. And that's where, again, he's getting that goal. He's getting the goal line work, right? He's handling a bulk of the carries. It's where the Eagles have allowed a lot of production in that touchdown department. So, again, I hate to repeat the same guy in 2 straight weeks, but if the price isn't going to be adjusted, he's still going to be a great play. I love him in this one.
Okay. Even though you tried to poo-poo Cam Akers, I do want to talk about him because he still is a pretty good value, especially when you're looking at it. $6,600, excuse me, taking on the New Jersey, New York Jets.
I mean you're not wrong.
They might as well be the New Jersey Jets, in all honesty. Yeah. But Al, let's talk about him. $6,600 because his volume right now has just been off the charts these last couple weeks.
Yeah, 50 carries in the last 2 weeks. Is that good?
It seems good. Real good to me.
Seems good, right? Also involved a little bit in the passing game. Look, the Jets are really bad. This is a 5-box running back. We're getting a lot of carries here. We're getting involvement in the passing game. We're getting inside the 5 carries the last 3 weeks, which is what everybody projected for Cam Akers to be the guy, but he has not been the guy because of injury, or he's a rookie and McVay doesn't like playing rookie running backs. But the Jets allow 4 red zone trips per game, 3rd most in the league. The Rams rank 4th in red zone rush rate in the league, and opponents are averaging 37.8 yards per drive versus New Jersey?
Yeah.
New York?
We can say New Jersey. It's fine. But it's New York. It's New York. Yeah.
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 Again, that's the 5th most in the league. So all signs point to the Rams being able to move the ball. They're at home, favored, inside the 5 carries. All 5 boxes checked off for me at running back. Cam Akers is way too cheap at $6,600 on this particular slate.
And by the way, before folks are like, hey, you just contradicted yourself big time, this is the difference between cash and tournaments. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Is that where you were going?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Exactly. This is the difference. Like in cash, he's a high floor. He's a 5-box player. We have high expectations for him. In a tournament setting, if you know everyone's going to be on him, everyone realizes the things Al just pointed out, or at least most of them, you want to be different, right? You want to shake it up and kind of go, you know.
Yeah.
Zig where they zag, sort of thing. Is that, did I say that right?
What's zig where they zag?
Zig,
sure.
Zig when they zag.
That's yeah. Right.
Yeah. So that's why maybe you pivot to the passing in a tournament, whereas in cash, Akers still a tremendous play.
Yep.
Okay. Let's talk about a couple of the running backs here, Mike. We got to figure out what's going on in San Francisco, and that there's a lot of conversation we can have there. Jeff Wilson, $5,100. Obviously, a lot of this is dependent on whether or not Raheem Mostert plays. Raheem Mostert, $5,800. But they're taking on the Dallas Cowboys, and the Cowboys are just not a good run defense, Mike. So I just want you to break down these two 49ers running backs for me.
Yeah, and the thing with the Cowboys is they've allowed the seventh most fantasy points to running backs, but most of it is on the ground, right? So they're bottom three in terms of targets, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, yards per target, yards per reception to running backs, and they've dominated that sort of department. But they're top four in rushes, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, and yards per carry to running backs, right?
What a weird split.
Isn't it odd, right? Yeah. It's really odd. But that's perfect for the 49ers who don't target their running backs very often, but are very creative with their running schemes and do a lot of damage on the ground. In fact, the 49ers running back room as a whole, and this isn't a surprise if you've watched the trends of Kyle Shanahan's offense, is they are fourth in combined running back fantasy points this season, first in touchdowns with 20. Sets up perfectly here. But the problem is, like you said, who's going to play? And if Raheem Mostert plays, which we do expect, it seems like he's going to play based on Shanahan's comments, is he limited? Do we see more Jeff Wilson? Does he have a step back early? That's where you run into a curveball. But keep this in mind. Jeff Wilson, if Mostert's out or he's going to be limited and Wilson starts, he's played 30 or more snaps in two games this season. He had 32 points and 3 touchdowns against the Patriots. We remember that one. And last week was the other one against Washington, and he scored a touchdown in that game as well. So I think in cash they're risky. Unless one of them's out. If one of them's out, the other one's a good play. If Mostert's out, Jeff Wilson's a good play. There's no concern with Wilson's health right now. But in tournaments, either way, I think there's some interest there, right? Because one of these guys could have a huge game in this backfield. So especially Wilson, and people are going to be off Mostert with the injury. I think if you're setting a bunch of tournament lineups, I would play around with those guys a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely, make sure you have your D20 with you, because it's definitely going to be a dice roll for you a little bit in cash games if Raheem Mostert plays, and you're just going to kind of have to figure it out along the way. But like you said, tournaments really like that. Let's talk about a couple of the running backs here, and I hate to do this. Derrick Henry, $9,500, taking on the Detroit Lions. Very good value. Even at $9,500, really good value, because Detroit is, one, so bad, and two, Derrick Henry is just so good. So, like, those two things together, it's totally worth the price point. Dalvin Cook, $9,000, taking on Chicago. Alvin Kamara, $7,400, now with Drew Brees under center. Hopefully that's going to be even more for him.
Yep, I bumped up his target share projection for sure.
Love it.
Yep.
You got Leonard Fournette, $4,500, waiting to see what happens with Ronald Jones in that pinky. But if Ronald Jones doesn't go, I don't want to say no offense to LeSean McCoy, but it feels like they would want to feature Leonard Fournette a little bit more in this game. And then Chase Edmonds, we talked about this a little bit earlier with Kenyon Drake on the other side of that, $4,400 taking on Philly. More of a tournament option than a cash option, Mike?
I think so, unless you really need to punt. Now, he is questionable, and actually he's looking very, very, he's looking more doubtful than questionable.
Is he? Okay.
So this one probably will end up crossing off, but if he does go, no one's going to be on him, and he has quietly been getting his 10 touches or so every week. He's been quiet, so people aren't noticing, because Kenyon Drake's been doing the damage, but Edmonds is still there, and we know he can come out of nowhere and catch 7 balls and maybe score a touchdown or two in this Arizona offense, so he's a guy not to forget about.
Okay. Let's move on to some wide receivers here. And Mike, I'm excited about this one. I'm just a huge Brandon Ayuk fan. This kid has absolutely crushed it. And I feel like it's been an under the radar type of season for him, in part because he's missed a couple games, but he's had a number of games in a row that he has just looked absolutely fantastic. And $6,300 taken on Dallas still feels like it's too low.
It absolutely is. He is 17th in the slate, and he is set up very well here with Deebo Samuel out. Look, he has 75 or more receiving yards and 18-plus fantasy points in 5 straight games.
Five straight.
That's huge production right there. 11.4 targets per game, and he's the number 2 scoring fantasy wide receiver during those weeks.
Wow.
Only some guy named Devontae Adams has more fantasy points during those 5 weeks that he has played. He has a 30% target share, a 40% air yard share. I mean, we're talking elite top-end wide receiver usage right now. That's how they're using him. I mentioned no Deebo. They're playing Dallas. Most wide receiver touchdowns allowed this season with 22. They're 7th in YPA and catch rate allowed to wide receivers. And they have health issues right now. Chidobe Awuzie and Anthony Brown were out last week. So a lot of reasons to like IU. And by the way, one quick nugget here. I remember what was the big Richie James game? Remember that? Like 6 weeks ago?
It was an island game. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that? So in that game, he out of nowhere, he just had all them targets. And Brandon Ayuk was supposed to play in that game, but he was added to the COVID list. And that's why Richie James kind of came out of nowhere. But I remember a comment from Kyle Shanahan where he was like, well, the plan was to give 70% of the looks to Ayuk, and, you know, he was out and we subbed James in. And that's like how Shanahan thinks, right? Like, he knows he's short on players right now, which he is this week. It's Ayuk. There's no Kittle. There's
no Kittle, Debo.
You know, it's Richie James. It's Kendrick Bourne. It's
Raheem Mostert up in the air.
Exactly. So, I mean, he's probably designing a game plan around, like, how can we get Ayuk the ball 15 times in this game?
Yep.
I fully believe that based on the things he said. You can always, you know, there's a lot of coach speak, but you can pick things out here or there that make a lot of sense. I think that they're going to do everything they can to get him the ball a ton in a great matchup here as well. And he's already delivered. He's underpriced at 6,300. I'm going to do everything I can to get him into my cash lineup.
Yes. Fingers crossed that can happen, but don't tell anybody else about it because we don't want everyone else also putting
the camera
lineup.
Wasn't on there, right?
Yes.
That was just
yes.
For me.
Keep that between us. All right. Al, we're going to move on to you and we're going to talk about the player that Matthew has a fat head of on his ceiling. So it's the last person he sees before he goes to bed. And that is Terry McLaurin right
F1.
Now. Do you remember Fatheads?
I do. They were awesome.
They were super cool. $6,600 taken on the Seattle Seahawks. Now, when we started this, when we went through the note and we did a phone call yesterday, obviously we thought that there was going to be a different, potentially, not that we thought, but Dwayne Haskins is going to be under center rather than Alex Smith. And I'm curious how that change at quarterback changes things here for you with Terry McLaurin. Does that give him a boost in value to you or does that bring it down a little bit?
I mean, at the beginning of the season with Haskins there, he had scored 28.5 points against Arizona. He scored 24.8 against Baltimore. So he's capable as long as he gets the volume. And he hasn't really gotten it the last 2 weeks. But again, extremely tough matchups the last 2 weeks against San Francisco in San Francisco and against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. So this is a great opportunity for us to kind of buy the dip. Where McLaurin was over 7K when he faced Dallas, or at exactly 7K when he faced Dallas. Now we're getting him at a cheaper price off of two dud weeks, 3.4 points and 4.4 points against Pittsburgh and San Francisco. I'm willing to look past that, and we're going to buy him at a cheaper salary, and we're going to buy him when people are leaving. You talked about Zig when they zag. You know, it'd be a great GPP player, great tournament player in DFS, Robert Frost. So I'm going to take the road less traveled by, and I'm going to go with Terry McLaurin this week. When everybody else is leaving the train, I'm jumping back on.
Sure. Sure, that's fair.
That's smart. I mean, that's superstar players like that. When people are off them, of course, that's when you want to get back on because we know he's one of them guys that could have a huge game. And he is a great, I agree with Al, he's a great cash play too this week. He's one of the top values on our board.
And what other fantasy podcast are you going to hear us talk about the road less traveled? I mean, come on. Props to Al for that one. A little poetry.
Renaissance man, Daniel.
That's what it is. I do want to ask you this. Real quick, Al, because one of the things that we kind of wanted to talk about was a Taysom Hill and Michael Thomas stack, understanding they're taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of options where they're probably going to have to throw the ball. But now, with Taysom Hill no longer starting and Drew Brees actually $100 less than what Taysom was at $5,900, do you still like a Brees-Thomas stack in the setup?
I do like Brees stacks with Thomas. I also like Brees stacks with Kamara. I think that the two of those gentlemen are going to log about 20 targets between them this week. One might get 8, one might get 12. But I think that they're going to soak up a lot of the usage from Drew Brees. Again, the only problem with Drew Brees, the only danger is that he may get yanked inside the 10 when they go to gadget Taysom Hill. It might cost us a touchdown, either a rushing touchdown for Alvin Kamara, or it might cost us a passing touchdown that turns into a Taysom Hill running touchdown if they go to that gadget package that they go to inside the 5 and inside the 10 sometimes. So there is danger with a Brees stack, but again, the upside here is tremendous. They're going to have to score touchdowns, not field goals, and I think that we're going to see Drew Brees challenge for the 300-yard bonus. I think we're going to see a lot of targets funnel to Kamara and to Michael Thomas.
Yeah, $5,900 just across the board. Any quarterback, if I could stack any quarterback with Michael Thomas for $5,900, understanding that, you know, it's been an up and down year for that passing game, but you got to love that opportunity. I do want to make sure we say $7,200 for Michael Thomas, a value. We still like him this week, especially more now with Brees under center.
Yep.
A couple of the guys that we really quickly want to mention, Michael Gallup, still $3,500 taking on San Francisco, but the usage that he has, the looks that he has been getting, Mike, has been enough to make it worthwhile there. Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage, now that Julio Jones has been ruled out. Calvin Ridley, $8,200. Russell Gage, $4,700. You like this price point for Russell Gage, Mike?
I do. Yeah. He's had a target share rate in the vicinity of 20% the past few weeks without Julio. So yep. They're using him a lot. And also, they made kind of a shift. He's out playing outside now, right? Mm-hmm. They put Brandon Powell in the slot. He's playing outside. I don't think I haven't really heard that discussed, but they made that adjustment. That's generally going to lead to, you know, it's not always great in PPR, but it allows you to score more touchdowns, get down the field more big plays. And we've seen that pay off for him the past couple of weeks to some extent. So Ridley, engage. And, you know, if you want to take that shot on Matt Ryan, again, no one's going to be on Ryan. So if you're in a GPP and you want to throw a curveball here, playing against the Bucs, who have not stopped the pass as well as of late as they did earlier in the season, you can maybe do something with Gage, Ridley, and Ryan here.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Two more wide receivers we want to talk about. Brandon Cooks. We mentioned Deshaun Watson a little bit earlier. $6,000 for Cooks taking on the Colts. And Robert Woods, $6,800 taking on the Jets. Obviously, we talked about the triple stack. Yeah.
He's like always on this.
Feels like he's always underpriced for everything that we do here. A couple of punt plays that we want to talk about. Greg Ward Jr. and Cam Sims. Both guys that are basically under $3,500. $3,000 for Greg Ward, $3,300 for Cam Sims. Is there one that you like more than the other, Mike Clay?
Just whoever fits in there. I probably Ward, though, I would say feel better about him. Because let me ask you a question. Who is the Eagles' number one receiver right now?
Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, right. I mean,
and he's not a wide receiver.
But even who is their number one wide receiver? It's Ward, or maybe you make a case for Jalen Reagor.
Maybe.
But Ward has really been the guy soaking up the most targets, at least most consistently, at least at the highest floor. He's been hanging around that 20% target share area. So lower volume passing game now, of course, with
Jalen Hurts using
Jalen
his
Hurts
legs
there.
Yeah.
But if he's going to throw it to Ward seven times at 3K, I mean, that's money in the bank and cash for sure.
Yeah, seven targets for 3K. The upside there is absolutely worth it.
Exactly. And you don't need a lot of upside, too, for that to pay off.
All right, let's talk about a couple tight ends here. And Mike, I feel like we're going to have a conversation because you have now stolen Cole Kmet from Al. $3,000 taken on Minnesota. There's just thievery all over the place here in this podcast. But 3K, like a great basement price for a Bears tight end that, you know, could potentially see some good work here against Minnesota.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say we stole him. Like, we were ahead of the game on this podcast with talking about him.
I just meant you stole him from Al. I'm just trying to make you guys fight with each other, not that we stole him.
Whoa.
Good ratings.
Yeah.
So anyway, I do still like him nonetheless. He's still in the 3K, which is insanely too cheap. Playing at Minnesota this week. He's the number 19 priced tight end in the slate. He only went up $100 from last week, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. He's 5K less than Travis Kelce.
Wow.
Think about what you can do with 5K, where you can go from like a James White to a Henry, I think is roughly the gap that you can do. So think about that. Kmet in his first 11 games had 14 targets. He has that in his past two games now. He has seven in both of those games. He's the number 9 scoring fantasy tight end during that span. And look, if you're still worried about Jimmy Graham caught a touchdown last week, so you might think, okay, he's still involved. But past three games, Kmet has 70 more snaps, 32 more pass routes run, 8 more targets, 7 more air yards, and they're playing the Vikings. 8.4 yards per target to tight ends this season. That is third highest in the NFL. So he's the number one there. He's their top pass-catching tight end. They've actually been scoring touchdowns with Mitchell Trubisky.
Yes, they have.
Believe it or not.
Weird.
So Kmet's the guy now, and at this price point, he's way too low.
All right, Al, I want to ask you about Travis Kelce because every week he's basically the guy that says, all right, top of the price list. Is he still worth it with the value to be able to fit him into your lineup? Travis Kelce is $3,500 more than the next highest priced tight end.
Yeah.
Is Kelce still worth it this week?
So this is a great pay up to be contrarian spot to go with Travis Kelce. So the thing that I've been trying to hammer home the last couple of weeks is that Travis Kelce's floor is essentially every other tight end's ceiling. Like, if you got 15 points from another tight end, any tight end on the slate for the last 3-4 weeks, you'd say, man, I got 15 points out of my tight end. That's outstanding. It was, even if it's like TJ Hockenson or Cole Kmet, I got 15 points. I'm doing great. You play Travis Kelce, he's going to get you 15 points in like the first half. And then he has 25 to 35 point upside, and nobody else really has that at the position. So I'm not saying that he's somebody you're going to be able to fit optimally in your head-to-head games. I think that it's a little tough to do that unless we get a little bit more predictable target volume at wide receiver that we don't have currently on the slate. But he's a fantastic pay-up to be contrarian play in tournaments because a lot of people aren't going to get there. They just can't find the money to do it. And I typically won't play two tight ends in tournaments. I will make the exception to have a second tight end in the lineup if Kelce is that second tight end.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. Two tight ends.
Yeah, and it's people aren't going to do that. If you follow the DFS rules, you know, if you're you play
like, don't do a bat flip after a home run and stuff like that.
Exactly.
The unwritten ones.
I don't want to say, no, I don't. They're written.
They're written down somewhere.
They're written. We talk about them all the time, right? Double stack, put a running back in the flex if he can. You know, like the things that that if you look at Millie Maker winners lead to the most Millie Maker winners, those kind of things they do with the double stacks, bring it back, those kind of things. They're going to tell you, don't put a tight end in the flex usually, right? But at the same time, we're at that point. Like when does it jump to shark, right? When does everyone kind of know to do that? And then you have to be ahead of the game, right? What's the next step to be different? And if you have an opportunity with Kelce in there and to have another tight end in the flex, that could shake up everything. And speaking of which, Al, we're taping this Friday morning. Last night was the Chargers Raiders game. Somebody started Marcus Mariota in the Millie, right? Did they win? Did they end up winning that?
They took it down. They ran away with it. In a showdown slate, you're looking at like maybe 0.2 points or 1 point separating first from like 1,000th. And this guy won by 12 points because he put Mariota in captain on the off chance that maybe Derek Carr leaves the game with injury and it just happens. Like, I don't know. I guarantee it was not his only lineup, but it is what it is. And like, you're accepting the variance when you do something like that. This isn't even that. This is more identifying an outlier. So like, if something is statistically not likely to happen, so if we look at every Millie Maker winner ever, the majority of them, vast majority, like 99% plus of them, do not have a tight end in flex. We've seen one win with a tight end in flex this year. It happens from time to time, but we have to be able to identify the outliers. A lot like I've been saying, you don't typically want to play a running back, quarterback, and wide receiver because 0.7% of the time over the last decade or so, they score 25 or more DraftKings points each. But there are specific outlier situations that we need to allow it for. The Killer Bees in Pittsburgh, Kamara, Thomas, Breeze historically, and Mahomes, it was Hunt and one of his pass catchers, either Kelce or Hill, have done it multiple times. So there's certain outlier combinations and situations where you can make an exception.
Yeah, and my point is just that's a way you can get an edge. You
know, absolutely.
If there's so many people thinking the same thing, doing something like what he did with Marcus Mariota, it's completely logical in a tournament. In cash, it's not at all. But in a tournament, it makes sense, especially in a one game. Like a full slate, it doesn't make as much sense because you have other options. Like, you know, I was thinking about on the way over here, is it worth like setting a tournament lineup with Taysom Hill? Like, it's really not worth it, I don't think, because you have so many other quarterback options, right?
Not a quarterback.
Right, even if Drew Brees gets hurt or has a setback at the end of the first quarter, you're still missing a quarter of the game, and it's just not going to pay off in a setting like that. A one-game slate, obviously, it can work.
So two more tight ends really quickly I want to talk about. Just tell me if you like their price point. Dallas Goedert, only $3,900 taking on Arizona. That feels really low to me. I like Dallas Goedert this week. And Logan Thomas, $4,000 taking on Seattle. Interested to see how Logan Thomas plays with Dwayne Haskins rather than Alex Smith. But two cheaper guys that we like there if you want to pivot off of a Travis Kelce conversation.
Yeah, we give you lots of levels, right? Komet at 3K, then you have Goddard and Thomas at that 4K area, and then Kelce, of course, is the one you would pay up in a big way for.
All right, we're going to wrap up the show here. We're going to give out our weekly head-to-head lineups. Like I said earlier, Mike and I have been doing this every single week. We are currently tied 7-7. It has really come down to the final stretch here. I am stoked about this. We're going to keep this going through the playoffs. This tournament is not going to end in the regular season. So we'll keep this. We got a ways to go still. But Mike, give us your week 14 DFS lineup.
So as I mentioned, right, my lineup changed an hour ago, right?
Yes,
so I had Taysom Hill in here. I had the jam them in, as we call it, which we're going to talk about here a little bit, which is the strategy of just taking those two superstar running backs. It would be Cook and Henry this week and then building around that. And I felt really comfortable with that. I had Taysom Hill, a quarterback, Henry and Cook, Kenyon Drake in the flex. I had Ayuk, I had Gallup, I had DJ Chark, Komet, and the Jets defense, which I felt great about.
That was a good lineup.
Right, I love that. So actually, I'm doing the cage match with Al. You follow him on Twitter and check that out. I did that with Al this week. Al, you can get more details on that. And that was my exact lineup for that, which was my goal going in. It just worked out. That's exactly who I got. So that worked nicely, but now it's ruined. So my pivot off of that is Watson at quarterback. I'm still doing a sort of jam it in because you can do it this week, right? You can still do it and come away with good receivers as I laid out. I have Cook, but I went from Henry to Kamara. So still, with Kamara's just a better value now. He's a little cheaper. It opens up some other options. So Cook and Kamara, I went Leonard Fournette in my flex right now. Brandon Ayuk is still in at wide receiver. Michael Gallup at receiver. But here's where it gets interesting. I was able to get from DJ Chark all the way up to Michael Thomas.
Wow.
Now as well, by making that switch from Henry to Kamara, even though I paid up more to go to Deshaun Watson, a quarterback, and I still have Kmet and the Jets. So there's a lot of options here. You can stay cheap at quarterback. You can go Jalen Hurts. You can do an option where you go Mitch Trubisky and still get Henry, Kamara, Drake, Ayuk, Thomas, Gallup in there. You have a lot of variations that we mentioned, a lot of players. Get creative with it. But I think, you know, we covered all of your top options this week. So I'm happy with what I have, but we'll see. I might have to tweak it a little bit. We'll see.
A little bit. Yeah. Well, I mean, we always sort of tweak it based on injuries and Sunday news when we do this. All right. So you've got Deshaun Watson, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Leonard Fournette, Brandon Ayuk, Michael Thomas, Michael Gallup, Cole Kmet, and the Jets defense.
Right.
Okay. All right. That's not a bad second place lineup. My lineup this week, I'm going to bring the pain
second
out.
Second place in the tournament. Second like place it. In the tournament.
I'm gonna bring the pain. Jalen Hurts is my quarterback, $5,900. My two running backs are Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara.
Like it.
My wide receivers are Brandon Ayuk, Russell Gage, and Corey Davis.
Okay.
My wide receiver, or my tight end, is Dallas Goedert. In the flex, I'm going big or going home. That's just the way I like to play the game, guys. Lynn Bowden Jr.
Wow.
$3,600. Like it. Listen, he's a running back, tight end. The way he looked with Tua, not knowing what's going on with Devontae Parker, $3,600. I decided to pivot because I knew it would be a little bit different than some of the guys we mentioned here. And then I've got the Saints defense taking on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
In part because of the idea that if the Chiefs are just going to throw 100 times, then there's a better chance that maybe they'll have an interception or two or something from that perspective. So obviously got to worry about the points that they score. But I really like my lineup. Jalen Hurts, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, Brandon Ayuk, Corey Davis taking on the Lions, Russell Gage, Dallas Goedert, Lynn Bowden Jr., the Saints.
I like a few of those players. I'll say that.
Man, if I beat you with two Eagles in my lineup, it is going to feel so good. So good. All right, guys. That is going to wrap it up for us this week. Thank you
so
much.
Wait, what about Al? Do we have Al's?
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Host.
Oh, I forgot about Al.
Host with the least.
We're trying. It's such a where there's so many things back to back to back today. I apologize for that. Al, give us your tourney lineup for this week.
Daniel's just sinking so deep into that comfy couch that he's almost fallen asleep.
I just forgot. Once I get through my lineup, which is obviously going to be Mike, I just feel like the show is over. I forget that, you know,
Bill Gates would never.
Cut it right there. I win. Let's cut it. I'm going to go with the off the board, off the chart, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, triple stack here. So Drew Brees, Kamara, and Thomas.
Like it.
Going with here, like I said, I'm expecting like 20 targets for that duo. I don't think it's going to be a very heavily played combination. I'm going to go with Kenyon Drake as my other running back, Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, and Gallup as the secondary stack. So Tyreek Hill bringing back that on the other side of that New Orleans double stack.
Yep.
Cole Kmet at tight end to make it all fit. And my favorite defense is the Washington football team. Could not get there. I was 300 short. So I went with the Falcons to just kind of push and pray.
You know, I like the Falcons' defense against Tampa. They've struggled a little bit. They have not looked super in sync. I thought about using them, too.
Yeah, Falcons' defense has been playing better. In fact, I'm kind of off Tom Brady. I'm a little lower by a couple spots than most people on Brady this week just because I think that the Falcons have improved defensively. But anyway, Al's lineup looks a lot looks very familiar to one we talked about, and that would be my lineup. So I think we know which way he would be leaning here. And
you know. Yeah, we know which way he'd be leaning, and he'd be leaning in the same direction where he was leaning last week when I beat him in the cage match. So
you see, I knew that was going to come up.
So listen, Mike, we like you and I both going up against Al in his cage match. Like we said, check him out on YouTube, on Twitch, everywhere that you know at Al Zeidenfeld. I beat him last week. It's up to you to bring home a W this week.
Yeah, we'll see. I already lost Taysom Hill, so I have to pivot on quarterback, so we'll see what happens.
Gosh,
it'll be fun.
Did you hear the excuses already starting?
No excuses. Yeah, you had to make pivots.
I did.
No excuses. We got this.
I love
Double asterisk Mike Clay. One on the focus pod and one
in
the cage.
One in the cage. I love it. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us and getting we love being able to do this for you. Week 15 is upon us. We are stoked to be able to give you a couple plays we think are going to work out this week. So for Mike, for Al, I am Daniel. Don't forget to love each other. Have an awesome weekend, and we will see you guys next week.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Thank you. The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.